thank you, Lynn. Thanks, Mary and Diane, for the special music and for the other folks that participated with the music as well. This really doesn't have anything to do with the message, but I just wanted to share with you. Friday night, we were at the rescue mission, and we had a service there. And sometimes I ask if they have prayer requests. And you get the standard old prayer requests, you know, I need housing, I need a job, my friend's in prison, or, you know, and you pretty much come to expect them. But this week was different. I mean, we had some of those requests, but there was at least 4, 5, or 6 people that their prayer request was that they would grow in their faith, that they would be stronger in their faith. Which, how often do we ask our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray that we would be stronger in our faith? I mean, it was such a blessing to me to see them having a desire to grow in the Lord. And then after the message, I encourage them if they want to talk about something that, you know, the Lord is speaking to them. And there were several of them that come up and they wanted to share what God has been teaching them and how he's been working in their life. And I want to encourage us as a congregation, you know, how come we don't do that? You know, if you see something in God's word and it really jumps out at you, you know, share it with somebody else and be a blessing to them. You get down there to minister to them, and you come away a lot of times with them ministering to you. So that's just something that happened to me this week that I wanted to share with you. Well, the title of the message this morning is Another Gospel. Before we get into that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at God's word. Pray that you would prepare our hearts for what you have for us this morning. I just pray that you'd give me clarity of thought and help me be able to keep my thoughts organized as I share what you've laid on my heart this morning. These things I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message is Another Gospel. Another Gospel. Well, if we're going to have another gospel, we've got to back up and find out what is the real gospel, right? So what is the gospel? The definition of gospel is good news or a good message. Now, it might be good news that you're coming into some inheritance. Or it could be good news that you're getting a good report from the doctor, or you're getting a new job, or you're getting a new house, or whatever. But when we're talking about biblically, spiritually, what is the good news? The good news is that you can have a relationship with God, that you can be part of his family. Now, the Apostle Paul is addressing that in this scripture. And I've been reading several books, one about Greece and one about important doctrines of the church, and there's a couple chapters in there about salvation and that type of thing. And I keep coming back to this grace theme and this salvation thing. And then I was reading here in Galatians, and it's like, this is what we've got to talk about this morning. So before we get into this, what is another gospel? What is the gospel? We got to pick up here in Galatians chapter 1, get the foundation, get the background of what's going on here, and see what Paul's really saying. So in Galatians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle. Now we all know who Paul was, right? Paul, he was the guy, his name used to be Saul, and he was this like fanatical Pharisee. And he hated the church, and he hated Christ, and he was going to do everything he could to destroy the church and anything to do with Christ. He was sincere, and he was devout. And what happened to him? On the road to Damascus, he's going there to persecute Christians and to bring them back. He meets God. He sees a light. God speaks to him, and he becomes converted. So the guy that's addressing this is a guy who was sincere. He was religious, and he comes to the point where he changes. God changes him and makes him a new person. And then he becomes the premier preacher of the gospel, the person who wrote, that God used to write more of the New Testament than anybody else.
And he probably did more to spread the gospel than any other person that's ever been alive. So here we have Paul. He starts out, Paul, an apostle. Now, what's an apostle? An apostle is somebody who's been sent. And an apostle also had to see Christ. Another rescue mission story. A couple months ago, I met an apostle. This person came up to me and told me that they were an apostle. I had a card and everything with it on. You know, they were official. They were an apostle. Now, biblically, an apostle had to see Christ, and it was someone who was sent. Now, you think about what was a disciple. A disciple was a follower of a Christ. An apostle is one that he sent out. So Paul's identifying himself. He's Paul, an apostle. It says he's not of men, neither by man. This wasn't somebody appointed him, you know, some council in Jerusalem or, you know, some group of Pharisees or some religious, you know, union or something. It wasn't something that happened because of what somebody said. But no, it was by Christ Jesus. Well, remember what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. You remember that Paul had met Christ on the road and he's blinded. And then God talks to this guy named Ananias. Remember Ananias? And God tells Ananias, go thy way. He's telling Ananias to go talk to Saul. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So when Paul here in Galatians says that he is chosen by Christ and by God, God had already said that to Ananias. Hey, I've chosen this guy. He's going to be a special person to minister for me. And so the end of the verse says he's an apostle, he's chosen by God. And then it also ends in that verse, God the Father raised Christ from the dead. So this is introduction to the book and also to the theme. In verse 2 we see, and all the brethren that are with me unto the churches at Galatia. So Paul's writing to them, but there's some other people with him. We don't get any list. We don't get any names. There's nowhere in the book that I know of that anybody's listed of who's with it. But there's Paul, and then there's some other people that are also greeting them. And then who's it to? It's to the churches at Galatia. Now, Galatia is an area, basically Asia Minor. And remember, what had Paul done on his first missionary journey? One of the places he went was he went into southern Asia Minor, and he's founded a number of churches there. You'll recognize some of the names: Derbe, Iconium, Lystra, Antioch of Pisidia. These were churches that Paul had founded. Now, he founded them about 10 to 12 years before he's writing this letter to them. And so he's writing this letter. It's a letter for the group of churches. They were to pass it around among different ones. And he's got an issue that he wants to address with them. In verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you read any of Paul's letters, you think this is pretty much a standard address. I mean, pretty often he says, you know, grace and peace to you. But there's sort of an interesting twist on this, at least I see it, because the issue that he's going to address really soon in this letter is grace. What's grace? Grace is God's gift of giving us salvation. And what had happened in these Galatian churches, there were people coming in with a different gospel and saying, salvation isn't just by grace. You know, you've got to do these Jewish, you've got to keep these ceremonies, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to keep these, you know, sacrifices or whatever. And here he's saying, grace to you. Not just the standard greeting, but he's laying the groundwork that he's going to be addressing to them that grace is important. Grace and peace from God the Father. Now let's think about this. If your salvation is based on grace, that means God did what needed to be done. Can you have peace? You can, because it's done, it's complete. But suppose your salvation is based on your works. Did you give enough money? Did you attend enough church services? Did you help enough people? Can you ever have peace? Because, not really, because you don't know. Have you ever done enough? And so as Paul's addressing them, and he's saying, grace to you. He wants them to understand that God has given them a gift. And because of that, they can have peace. So this grace and peace comes from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. It's interesting. Gave himself. Jesus Christ voluntarily became the sacrifice for our sins. What could we have done to make our sins, to satisfy the need of our sins? In Romans 3:20, it says that by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified. There was nothing that we could do that would satisfy God and the payment that was needed for our sins. So it says that Christ gave himself for our sins. He gave for our sins, not his sins. He didn't have any of his own. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. When you look at the world around you, do you see an evil world around you? Yeah. This week I was at a seminar training thing I had to go to. It was related to farm things, and one session, there was a state trooper addressing the group of people. And he was just saying how in his time as a state trooper, he's seen a change in people. Just how bad people. And this is a man, judging by his vocabulary, he's no believer, okay? But he said he gets so angry of how people act and how people have changed that he's seen in his career. Yes, it's an evil world out there, and that world is all around us. But what Paul's saying here, that he might deliver us, there's hope that we can be delivered from this evil world that's around us. How is this? According to the will of God and his Father. It's God's will that we not be sucked into this things of this world and all the evil that's in it. And we can't get out of that on our own. But God has a plan that he wants to save us and change us and deliver us from this evil world. So in verse 5 then we see, to whom be glory forever and ever. He wants to praise God. The glory is going to go to God for delivering us from this evil. So this is pretty much an introduction to the book. And, you know, we've identified who's talking, where's Paul's authority. It comes from God, and he's addressing these churches that he had established 10 to 12 years before. So, in verse 6 then, we see what I call an indictment. What's an indictment? It's a charge. It's an accusation. There's something that's wrong. In verse 6, we see, I marvel. The word marvel there, he is shocked. He is appalled. I just can't believe you people would do such a thing. You ever felt that way about somebody? You know, it's like, how in the world could you do that? You know better. Sometimes parents might have that frustration. Sometimes kids might have that frustration with their parents. But he's saying, I just can't believe that you are so soon removed. Soon removed. The word soon there means quickly or easily. He's like, I don't know how you got removed. The word removed means to be turned away. In the Greek, it's actually a military term for a deserter. He says, I don't know how quickly, how easily you became a deserter of Christ. Now, what happens to a deserter in the military? I know a number of you guys have been in the military. If you got a deserter, what happens to him? Best case scenario, Greg, what happens to him? He gets some sort of trial. Worst case scenario, he's executed. Okay? And back in that day, that was what happened. If you were a deserter, you were executed. So Paul, he launches into this, and in his book, he's not like a lot of his other books. And usually he'll thank them for something, and he'll commend them for something. He's really upset with them. He gives a standard introduction, and then he just launches into them. I just can't believe that you're deserting the gospel, that you are so soon removed from him that called you. Called. You know, when a person comes to faith in Christ, God calls them. And God's calling people. And he wants people to come. But we need to answer that call. We need to receive them. And so he's saying, God has called you, but somehow you're deserting what he's called you to. What's he called you to? The grace of Christ. The gift of salvation that's resulted from Christ's payment for our sin. They're deserting that payment, and they're going after another gospel. Well, what is another gospel? Let me ask you some questions. And these are things that people in the world might tell you the gospel is. Is the gospel, the good news, that you can have a relationship with God, is the gospel some sort of a therapy session? You know, if you turn over a new leaf and you become a better person, you can be good enough and God's going to like it and everything's going to be okay. Is that the good news? No. That's another gospel. And there's people out there that are preaching that. You know, just try a little harder and you'd be pretty good. You'd be better than most people and God's going to be happy with you. That's not the gospel. Well, what about... It's the good news that God loves you. Well, it is good news that God loves you. But just because God loves you isn't enough to get you into heaven. Right? I mean, God loves you, but he's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force you to have a relationship with him. If you don't love him back, why would you even want to go to heaven and live with him? You know? So the good news isn't just that God loves you. That is good news, but that's not the complete gospel. Well, is the good news of the gospel that Jesus wants to be your friend? You know, we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And Jesus does want to be your friend. But the problem is, Jesus and God are holy. And we all have a past. We've all sinned, and we've done things that we shouldn't do. And because God's holy, he can't just overlook that and say, well, that's okay, you know, it can slide. You know, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to make a payment to be our Savior. He didn't just come to be your friend, to be your buddy. He came to be your Savior. Well, okay, so the gospel isn't just that Jesus came to be your friend. Well, maybe the good news is that Jesus came to make the world right. You know, he's going to come back, and we know this from Scripture, and he's going to make everything right and have a new and perfect world, And our job is just to help him improve this thing, right? You know, if we live right and the world's getting better all around us, and if we just help him, we can make the situation good enough, and he'll just come back and finish the job, right? Is that the good news? No. The good news is, in the end, that's going to happen. But we can't. We're all sinners. We can't change anything for the good, to please God. So that's not what the gospel is. You think in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, it talks there about that the gospel is that Christ died according to our scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to our scriptures. And we say that that's the gospel. And that is the gospel. But we need more of the story for people to understand that. You see, we live in a world with people around us that have no idea about the Bible or any biblical knowledge. It used to be 50 years ago or more, you know, people had a basic knowledge of God, of Scripture, even if they weren't truly a Christian. Nowadays, people are clueless. So if you just tell them that Jesus died, he buried, and rose again, that's not going to mean a whole lot to them. We've got to lay more of a foundation. What the gospel is. You see, Jesus died. And the world could tell you, well, big deal. Everybody's going to die, right? I mean, everybody in human history except what? Enoch and Elijah died. And everybody's going to, unless the Lord returns. So what's the big deal if he dies? And he buried, well, so what? I mean, that's just normal. When people die, you bury them. And then he rose from the dead. Well, yeah, that's a little unusual. But I know from Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says that all men are going to be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. So there has to be more. We need to give more information when we're presenting the gospel, especially to people that are completely unchurched. So let's think about this. What is the gospel? And I'm going to go through really basic because I'm concerned that there's too many people out there that have been psychologically manipulated, that you raise your hand or you walk an aisle, but they've never made a commitment in their heart to the Lord. So what is the gospel? Well, let's think about this. We're going to go way back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. You say, well, what does that have to do with the gospel? That's a foundation. People have to understand that God is the creator. And because God's the creator, he's got some right of ownership. He's got some authority to make some rules. He can say how it is. So it says that God created us. God made man. And he not only created us, but he made us in his image, in his likeness, like him. And so it's important for people to understand that there is a God and that he's created them and that they are accountable to him. Well, if you think about it, we're continuing on what's the gospel. In Genesis 1:31, it says, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. When God created Adam and Eve and everything around us, it was perfect. It was wonderful. Everything was really good. There was nothing wrong with it, right? When you look at the world today, everything's very good, right? I don't think so. So God created us, and he created it very good, but now it's not so good. In fact, it's pretty lousy. So what went wrong? Something went wrong that changed this. It wasn't that God messed up. It wasn't that his plan wasn't, you know, there was some flaw in his plan. No. God chose to give human beings the choice. Are they going to voluntarily obey him or are they not? Well, you know what happened. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave them just one rule, one thing they weren't allowed to do. And this was a test. Are you going to obey me? Or are you going to do your own thing? And what'd they do? Well, you know what they did. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, then it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. It was just one test. One thing they couldn't do. And he did it. And what happens? Well, you know what happens. God confronts the serpent. He confronts Eve. He confronts Adam. You know, and they're passing the blame. You know, the serpent made me do it, and the woman gave it to me. And you know, nobody wants to take the fall for it. But God sends a curse on this earth. You know, the thorns and the thistles, and you know, we now end up with weather, severe weather, and we've got people with a sin nature, and they do bad things to other people. And the whole world has been corrupted by the choice that our original parents made. And that sin nature is passed down to every person. We all inherit that. And we have the desire to do our thing instead of God's thing. So we're looking here at the gospel. We're looking for the good news. Well, right now, I'm not seeing much good news. God made us. God made everything good. And then we messed it up. So what's the good news? Well, the good news is that God still loved this human race. You know, he could have said, I'm done with them. You know, I'll make another one. I'll go over here and make another planet, start another race. I'll wipe them out. Or he could have said, I'm done with it. I don't need anybody. I'm self-sufficient. I can get along. I don't need them. But God loved us. You know, he loved us enough, what's it say in John 3:16? That he gave his only begotten son. He came, his son, left heaven and came to this earth as a payment for our sin. He became a human being. He became like us. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they died. Now, they didn't physically die right then and there, but they died in the sense that their soul was separated from God. And the word in Genesis is that actually it's dying, thou shalt die. Their soul died, and their body started to die. So again, where's the good news? Well, the good news is that God sent his son to pay the penalty for our sin. You see, the Bible says that death is the result of sin, right? Now, Jesus died, but Jesus didn't have any sin. What does that mean? That means he didn't have any sin of his own that he had to pay for, that he had to die for, so he could make the payment for our sin, right? That's the good news. So Jesus was killed wrongly. They gave him a crooked trowel and put him on a cross, and he died to pay for our sin. But he did it that he could be our substitute. And then he rose from the dead. He was seen of 500 people at one time. Why was it important that he rose from the dead? That was the proof, the evidence that God accepted the payment that he had made for our sin. Okay, so God has sent his son, and a payment's been made. So that means we're all good, right? No. Some people might try to tell you that, but in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it talks about a repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to accept that. We have to receive that payment. And as part of receiving that, we need to repent. Repentance means we're going one way, you change your mind, you're going a different way. In Mark 1:15, it says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see, that's another thing that bugs me with some of the gospel presentations that's done out there today. We don't tell people that they're going to have to change, that they will change it. You know, it's like, oh, you just make this mental agreement that Jesus was God's son and he died and it's all going to be good. No, If you're truly coming to Christ in a faith that's going to save you, you've got to understand the ugliness of your sin. And you've got to say, I hate that. I don't want that anymore. I want to turn from that, and I'm going to accept your payment for that. You can't hang on to your sin and hang on to Christ at the same time. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. So anyway, we're getting here in the weeds pretty far on what the gospel is. We're going to run out of time before we get to another gospel. Anyway, so what do? We believe in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when a person truly accepts Christ, your desires are going to change. Now some people, they change dramatically. They change quickly and it's all new and they want everything. And other people, it's a long, slow process, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creature in Christ. So let's go back to our passage in Galatians now. So the gospel is what? Not, Jesus died, and he died. The good news is he died as a payment for our sin. So back in Galatians then, Paul's warning them about following after another gospel. The other gospel that was being the problem at that time was there were Judaizers, people with a Jewish background, were coming in and saying, it's okay if you believe in Jesus, but you have to be circumcised. Or you have to keep these ceremonial feasts. They had a whole list of things. You know, today the other gospel is, well, you can believe in Jesus, but you've got to be good. Now, you should be good as a result of believing in Jesus, but the goodness doesn't save you. You know, you need to believe in Jesus, but then you need to be baptized. Or you need to pay money to the church, or whatever. These are other gospels. And Paul was so upset with the Galatians because what had happened was that he had told them, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then other people's coming and say, oh, but you've got to do this. And he says, I can't believe you've left the simplicity of the gospel. In Galatians 1, verse 7, it says, which is not another. He said, there is not another. There's no other way. Jesus is the only way. You know, people might come in and tell you other things, but the only way that a person can come to God is through faith in the payment that Jesus has made for our sin. In verse 7 it says, but there be some that would that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now if I come in and I said you were some kind of a pervert, you would probably be offended, right? If somebody's a pervert, what are they doing? They're changing things from the natural way it should be. They're going the opposite way. And Paul here is saying that some that want to pervert, they want to distort the gospel. Now, why would people want to distort the gospel anyway? I mean, it sounds like a really good deal to me, right? You trust in Jesus, you pray, you ask him as your Savior, you confess your sins, and you got eternal life. I mean, why would you want anything more than that? Well, a lot of times I think it's our human pride. You know, we can't let go of the idea, or we hang on to the idea that I got to do something with this. We want to be in control. And when we turn our salvation, our life over to God, we're saying, I'm not in control anymore. And naturally, our pride is, no, I've got to do something. I've got to feel like I did something. And so people want to make more into the gospel than there is because they want to feel that they have part of it. Paul's saying, nope, there is no other gospel. In verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He's saying here, Paul's saying, and this is a hypothetical situation, Paul's never going to preach another gospel. He's saying, but if I did, or if an angel from heaven, the idea there, this is a good angel, this is a holy angel that came down from heaven, which wouldn't happen, you know, and he says something different. He says, let them be accursed. The Greek word there is anathema, condemned or damned, punished in hell. Paul's saying, if you're presenting another gospel, you're condemned. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. He's saying, there is no other gospel. You know, other people might come and they might have, you know, different ideas. He said, they're going to be judged by God. We just can't tolerate that. So Paul here, he's really been out of shape at them. How in the world, in 10 to 12 short years, can you get drawn in to some false teaching about the gospel? You know, and as a church, we've got to be cautious. The teachings that happen in this church, do they line up with this book? Not who has the latest book out there on the Christian bestseller list or some Christian movie. There's a lot of messed up theology in some Christian movies. And there's a lot of books out there. You know, if you do your Bible study on the internet, you can get into some really weird things. Now, granted, there's a lot of good things on there, but you got to know the names, the schools, you know, where they're coming from. But you can look up almost any doctrinal subject on the internet and get the true gospel and get some really goofy stuff. So anyway, back to this. Paul's warning them about another gospel. You know, you're sitting here in Grace Bible Church this morning. Most of you are regular people. You've heard the gospel and you know the gospel. Do you know the gospel? Do you know the Savior? Not just do you know it in your head, do you know the facts? But have you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, repented of your sin, and accepted Him as your Savior? And if you have, there should be spiritual growth in your life. And you should be concerned about other people. Because if they're following some other gospel, they're accursed. So that's my challenge for you this morning. Beware of another gospel. There's a lot of things out there that sound pretty good. You know, the things I asked you about was, is this the gospel that God loves you? That God's going to, you know, make a set up a new world? There's biblical truth there, but it's not complete or it's distorted. We've got to be careful what we believe, what books we read, what preachers we listen to. How does it line up with God's Word? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word and the opportunity to look into it. Lord, this is a pretty basic message, but sometimes we've got to get back to the basics. We've got to understand what's true so that we can see what's counterfeit. So Lord, I just pray that you would encourage each of these folks in their Christian life. I pray that they would examine themselves. Do they have a truly saving relationship with you? And are they making spiritual progress in their journey? Lord, I just pray that you would help us to examine ourselves. These things I pray in Jesus' name. As Denny comes to lead in a closing hymn, if you need to make a spiritual decision, the altar's open. You're welcome to come forward. If you've got a spiritual question, you'd like to talk to me privately or Pastor Rich, we'd love to answer your questions. There's guys at the rescue mission I love. They ask me some of the weirdest questions. Sometimes I don't know the answer, but we work on it, trying to figure it out. So if you've got a spiritual question or God's working, or maybe you could just share what God's been showing you with somebody else this week, what God's been doing in your life, and be a blessing to them. Denny?